Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and for the good questions. For the Russian delegation, last year in September, we did hold an informal consultation with member states. It wasn't at EXCOM, but we did. In fact, the Deputy High Commissioner and I were on the panel together and answered questions at that time. I think it's always a question, what's a better forum for having a dialogue? Is it the more formal EXCOM or a side event? But we did, in fact, reach out. Maybe I could take offline and understand better your comments about Matrix and to see exactly what you foresee from that. The procedure to select member states for the evaluation reference group. So for every major evaluation, including country strategy evaluations, we have a reference group that includes partners, being both member states, UN agencies, sometimes academia, the government itself. I was very pleased for the evaluation of the Ukraine refugee response. We had Japan, the EU, and Poland. Poland being the major recipient of refugees from Ukraine. Plus we had UNICEF, who had a major operation in those countries. Plus we had representatives from the countries themselves. So we try to mix it up to have a good representation of different constituencies in those evaluation groups. The inclusion of member states is new. So I have to be honest with you, the member states that I mentioned, they're the ones who expressed interest. There were no other ones. So they're selected by default because they signed up. But I completely agree that going forward, one of the criteria that might be applied is to what extent is the person proposed by that member state an expert in their own right in the area of the evaluation. So I take that as advice to try to write that up more formally so that we can be clear and more transparent in how we assemble reference groups. On the Netherlands, thanks for your comments. As I mentioned in my initial remarks, the introduction of one-year follow-up reporting is only just now because the policy went into effect October last year. So October this year, those evaluations that had a management response completed after October are in that first band, that first wave to do follow-up reporting. But I anticipate reporting back. It's true that the dashboard is internal, but in the annual reports, I commit to reporting back on the implementation of recommendations. Yes, I'm also looking forward to it's not confirmed yet, but there's a high probability that the Joint Inspection Unit will do a review of UN decentralized evaluation functions across the system. This would be incredibly helpful for us because this is one of the main changes with our new policy is the emphasis on decentralized evaluations commissioned by management. And here I think the other comment about the sort of looking at the strategic versus the operational, the centralized evaluation function and my office focuses on strategic issues, the strategic framework, major policies and commitments that the organization makes. The operational, that's where decentralized evaluations come in. So I think this would be a tremendously important review, and I hope that they decide to go through with it. Implications of staff cuts. As you know, many parts of the organization have all parts of the organization have had to reduce staffing. I can say I lost one post out of 10, which is on par with what everybody else lost in terms of staffing. So I think nobody likes to lose staff. Unfortunately, it was a position that we were planning to put into the Regional Bureau for Southern Africa, but we'll find a way through other means to make sure that we can support that region in the coming year and hope that the financial situation turns around. Are the means of the evaluation office and function in UNHCR comparable with other organizations? If I compare my office with WFP, we're not that comparable, to be honest, but they have a much larger budget than we do. What the evaluation policy does not designate a specific percentage of organizational expenditure for evaluation. What it says is decide what adequate coverage looks like and cost it. And that's what we're working towards. Joint evaluations with other partners, we do buckets of them. We do interagency humanitarian evaluations together with OCHA and other UN partners and NGO partners. In this past year, we have done Ethiopia and Afghanistan. We're starting Somalia and the earthquake response in Turkey and Turkey and Syria. We also just finished a joint evaluation with UNICEF. You heard of two joint evaluations that were done as decentralized evaluations in the MENA Regional Bureau. So there's quite a few. Maybe for those of you who don't know, there is a new office that has just been established in the UN Secretary General's office. It's called the System-Wide Evaluation Office. And there's a new executive director who's just been appointed. I think the announcement should come out any day. And this office will also help to galvanize joint action around evaluation. On communications, I see this is a issue of pride for our team, I think. We have gone way further in the last couple of years through the recruitment of dedicated communications support to work on videos, to work on briefs, infographics, briefings. Everybody knows the 60, 80-page report. Very few people have time to read that. So really going the full nine yards to try and make the information accessible at the right time, at the right place, sitting in on meetings in case we could say one thing that comes from an evaluation that might be useful for that management discussion. So I think this is, we can only continue to do this. And if you have suggestions on ways that we could better disseminate our work to you, I'm all ears. Just a recall that all evaluations are public domain documents, as are their management responses, and they're on our website. Thank you.
Thank you.